I don't know where you are at in your journey this morning, but my prayer is that God's word is going to speak to your heart today. My prayer is that you'll leave the service this morning with a deeper, bigger view of who your God is and a renewed desire to continue on in your journey to walk with him. So why don't we pray once again as we begin. Father, we love you this morning. My heart is so encouraged and blessed to be able to be here. What a privilege it is to stand before these dear folk. I pray, God, that you'd use your word today and your spirit to teach us, to challenge us, to remind us of truth, to give us a greater view of who you are and how needy we are of such a great God. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. When was the last time you found yourself in a very difficult situation? I mean a very difficult situation where you were forced to rely upon Almighty God. When was the last time you were in a very difficult situation that forced you to rely upon Almighty God? Maybe you're in the midst of that trial as we speak today. Maybe there's a deep family struggle that is a burden on your heart this morning. Maybe there's a health battle that you or someone that you love are fighting. Maybe there's a strained relationship with someone in your life that's not where it needs to be. Being college students, I would not be surprised if many of you have a deep financial need. Or maybe just an honest sin struggle that you're battling this morning. You know, we know that God wants us to depend and to rely upon him, but the truth is, it's not always easy. In fact, it's just plain hard. My wife and I went through our last major struggle last Thanksgiving and Christmas. We felt that the Lord was leading us to bring in two little foster boys into our home. They were ages 2 and 3, and we were looking at possibly adopting these two little boys. We've already had the privilege to adopt one child from birth, and Mike is now 5 years old, and so we were seeking God's will for more children in our home. And we were excited about the opportunity. It seemed clearly the Lord was leading us to have these two little boys come and to live with us. Well, and we knew they had come from an ungodly home. We knew they came from an unstable home. We knew they had all kinds of emotional issues. But we knew that if God leads you to something, he gives you the grace and the strength to handle it. However, the Lord showed us clearly within just a couple of weeks that these two little boys were just not a fit for our home. The behavior and emotional issues were just so severe, we felt like we just could not expose our 5-year-old to this. Also, their mother did not like the fact that I was a pastor. She made it very clear she did not want her children growing up in church, and she opposed us at every turn. And it came to a point where we realized that we were going to have to send them back. What a difficult, difficult decision that was for both my wife and I. Who was going to tell these little boys about Jesus? Who's going to help them make it in life, Lord? And Lord, we feel like failures. Such a difficult time. But even the social worker herself saw that it just wasn't working out, and we'd all come to this conclusion after 6 weeks that it was time for them to go on. I tell you what happened in my heart is at the time of this difficulty where I was emotionally and physically and spiritually drained, that the devil was hitting me with all these other areas in my life that I was struggling with now at that time where I was so low. And by the time the boys left, 3 days after that, we had our annual weekend retreat for our young people. And it's a real spiritually focused time in God's Word. And I started the weekend out by telling our students that I was as low spiritually as I've ever been. I told our students that I was a wreck. I was a wreck. And I needed this weekend even more than what they did. And I want to tell you, God, through His Word, did a special work in my heart that weekend. Used the Word to heal, to encourage, to strengthen, and over the next few weeks and months, He continued to use His Word in my life. And I realized my trial was only 6 weeks long. And some of you have had trials that you're dealing with now that you have for some time or will for some time, much longer than 6 weeks. But I want to tell you what God did in my heart. What He did is He taught me, as I had known in the past, but never to this point had I ever realized how to depend upon the Lord. And the Lord brought me to a new state. I don't just live in the state of Virginia anymore. I now live in a new state. And it's called the state of dependence. The state of dependence. God is teaching me to rely upon Him in a way I have never before. I am realizing in my life, I cannot live this life without Him. Now, I knew that to some degree, but not like I do now. And I have found, as you have found, or maybe will find, that Jesus is reliable, that God is trustworthy, and that God indeed is enough. He is enough. And I have found myself so dependent upon the Lord that I don't want to breathe without Him. I don't want to walk without Him. I don't want to speak without Him. I don't want to think without Him. And I tell you what, it's a great state. It is a tremendous state to live in. I would have never learned that if God would not have taken me through the difficult time. I'm here to tell you this morning, no matter what you go through or you will go through, it is true that you can rely upon Almighty God. If you know the very familiar verses in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this is not our text today. If you know those verses, would you quote them with me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you haven't turned to Jude 24 yet, would you do that this morning? These verses compose one of the greatest doxologies in all of Scripture, Jude 24 and 25. Jude is a powerful little book that sounds a battle cry to the true church of Jesus Christ to stand against apostasy. An apostate is a person who claims to know Jesus Christ, but they do not know Christ, and they teach false doctrine. A person that says they're saved, they're absolutely not saved, and they do not teach truth. And so Jude started to write this book about salvation, and the Spirit of God compelled him to change directions and now to write a book that is a battle cry. And it's a battle cry to stand up against apostates that are a danger to the church of Jesus Christ. And he says it is important that you learn how to earnestly contend for the faith. And it is important for you and I to realize that there are some things in the spiritual life worth fighting for. And we need to stand up and fight. And he tells us how, as we come to verse 20, after he's already pointed out some examples of who these apostates are and what they look like. He tells us that we are to build up our most holy faith through God's Word. We are to pray in the Holy Ghost. We are to keep in God's love so that your love for God deepens. Basically, you are to walk with God. Walk with God. And as Jude closes out this book, now in verses 24 and 25, he turns their attention to the only one upon whom they can rely. Follow as I read verses 24 and 25 again. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Why can you rely upon the Lord? Why can you rely upon the Lord? Three ways. Number one, because God preserves the Christian from falling. God preserves the Christian from falling. The scripture says here, unto him who is able. God is able to do what? To keep you from falling. Now the question needs to be asked, falling from what? Some say this means falling from salvation. That you can lose your salvation. Is that true? No, look at the scriptures in verse 1. Jude writes this, as he's writing, he says this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He's clearly writing to Christians. He's writing to folks that have placed their faith in Jesus who are saved. And he says they are preserved. They are kept in Christ. Plus, the whole of the New Testament clearly teaches once you're saved, you have eternal security. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. You cannot have eternal life for a short time. Once you place your faith in Christ, you're saved. It's a tremendous Bible truth. So he's not talking about falling from salvation. Well, then falling from what? What he's talking about here in the whole chapter, since he is clearly talking about apostasy, what he's saying here is God is able to keep you from falling into apostasy, and I would add into grievous sin. God is able to keep you from falling into apostasy and into sin that is grievous before him. Remember, Jude is written for the purpose of pointing out false teachers that creep into our churches to lead believers astray. And Jude gives us great hope that we don't have to be led away from truth. We don't have to fall into grievous sin. You don't have to ruin your life. I've had the privilege as a youth pastor for 15 years almost now to see a lot of students build a solid relationship with Jesus Christ and carry that on through the rest of their life. It's a tremendous blessing, at least to this point. At the same time, in ministry, you see many that graduate from high school and then they're gone. They're gone. And what's encouraging is the opportunity to be at a church for 15 years is that many leave and they roll around in the muck and mire of sin for a while, but then by God's grace, they come back. Not just to the church, but more importantly, to Almighty God. That is a blessing. That is such an encouragement. Here's my point. As wonderful as it is that God forgives, as wonderful as it is that God will take us back when we stray, and we do that, the truth is that God is big enough and powerful enough and able enough to keep you from doing that. You do not have to fall into grievous sin. You do not have to fall into apostasy. You don't have to. God is able to keep you from doing that. That's one reason why we can rely upon him. Number two, we can rely upon him because God will present the Christian faultless. Number one, he'll preserve you from falling. But secondly, he will present the Christian faultless. It says in the latter half of verse 24, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. One day, Jesus Christ will stand before God the Father, and he will present his bride, the church, pure, chaste, and faultless. And he'll do that, finally. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, you do not have to turn there for the sake of time. But these verses say that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The truth is there are all kinds of spots and blemishes in the church today because we're here. However, one day we will be arrayed in the righteousness of Christ in the presence of Almighty God. Our ultimate sanctification, our ultimate purity will bring God glory. And it says here, you know what else it'll bring? It'll bring God exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Think of the things that bring you joy in your life now. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a place like this. Maybe it's God's Word. Maybe it's sports or something else that brings you joy. None of these things, as wonderful as they are, none of these things even compare to the joy that God will be experiencing someday when Jesus presents us pure before Him, finally. What a day that'll be. And you and I can rely upon God because His desire is to give you the greatest life possible. And that life includes purity. A pure life. That's why in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And then the Bible says this, "Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." In other words, the mature Christian understands that since God's goal is to ultimately present us pure before God, that we should do our part to live pure right now. We should do our part right now. And God is able to do that. God is able to help you live a pure life. I know people and have dealt with some sin struggles in my own life that help me to understand those that deal with sin that so grips them, they wonder if they will ever get victory. And the truth is that God is able to give you victory. And God someday will present you as part of the bride of Christ to His Father pure. And our struggle will finally be done. Amen? What great truth. God is able. We can rely upon Him. He's able to preserve us from falling. He's able to present us faultless. And lastly, Almighty God is reliable because He is preeminent forever. He is preeminent forever. I love verse 25. "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Look at this incredible description of God. He is the only God. He shares His glory with no one. He is the wise God. He is not foolish. He is pure in wisdom and in judgment. He is our Savior, not just a Savior or the Savior, but our personal Savior. To Him be glory. This means the sum total of all that He is. To Him be glory. To Him be majesty. This means great magnificence. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. To Him be dominion. This means His sovereignty, His total control of all that happens. To Him be dominion. To Him be power. All authority belongs to Him. And all of this, the Scripture says, forever. And He ends with a hearty amen. One man said, "If we get caught up in the glories of the Savior, we will never want to turn to Satan's substitutes." We get caught up in the glory of the Savior, we will never want to turn to Satan's substitutes. My challenge to you today, dear friend, is to rely upon the Lord. And it is one thing to know this truth intellectually. It's another thing to be taught this through experience and through the difficulties of life, where God teaches you, as He has me, to learn how to fully rely upon Him. Now the question is fair when you ask, okay, how do I do this? We quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He told us we need to rely upon the Lord, and you gave us three reasons according to Scripture as to why we can do that, because He keeps us from falling, preserves us from falling, and He presents us faultless someday, and He is preeminent forever. But how do we do that? How do we trust Him? And I think just very practically, we trust Him, number one, through the Word. And I love your theme this year, that love servants that love the Word. And I tell you, students, you need to develop a love for the Word. That it is true from the first verse to the last verse. It is truth. And we learn to rely upon the Lord by digging into the Word, by meditating on it, by reading it, by allowing it to change us, by thinking about it throughout the day. But really, for me, not only the word, but another practical way I've learned to trust the Lord and to rely upon the Lord is simply in my prayer life. What I have found, especially since a difficulty that I've just been through like this one, is my prayer life becomes so dependent, as that state I was talking to you about earlier. My prayers sound something like this: Lord, I don't want to move today without you. Lord, I need your help with every person that I come in contact with today. Lord, I don't want to breathe without you today. I don't want to walk without you today. I don't want to do anything without you today. I can't do it. And I need your help. And we know from other parts of Scripture that this kind of an attitude and a heart before the Lord is exactly where He wants us. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, where the Bible says, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." In these moments of weakness, those are the times where you can really learn to rely upon the Lord. So my encouragement to you today is to spend time in the Word, but let God develop your prayer life, where you learn, as the psalmist did, just to dump out your concerns and your needs upon Almighty God. And you watch your life be so dependent upon Him, where truly you decrease and He increases. And I tell you what, my friends, I thought I had a close walk with Jesus before this time. Now He is teaching me an incredible walk with Jesus. Not because of anything I've done, because He's been so gracious to teach me how to rely upon Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to challenge you in the quietness of these moments this morning with these questions. If you're going through a difficulty now that you can recognize, would you just take that to the Lord right now in the quietness of this room? Would you just tell the Lord, "Lord, here's my problem." You might think it's huge, you may think it's small, it doesn't matter. Whatever our challenge is, the Lord wants us to rely upon Him. He is reliable. He is enough. He can preserve us from falling into apostasy and to grievous sin. He can help us live in victory and will present us faultless someday. And He is the only wise God who is preeminent forever. And we need Him. Whatever your challenge is right now, would you just take that to the Lord and dump it on Him and beg for His help? Father, I thank you that we're all a work in progress, that nobody in the room has arrived. But I'm thankful we have you to walk through this journey with us and the Spirit of God within us. And I pray that you'll teach us how to rely upon a God that's so reliable. I pray that you'll teach us how to live in that state of dependence. And we want you to know we love you this morning. We need you this morning. And I ask your blessings upon these dear students and faculty members and others that are here today. Help us to need you more this day. In Jesus' name.